We are kind to our weakness this up. You are welcome to Being Mindful, our weekly broadcast that explores issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians, including mental and emotional well-being, finances, family, relationships, careers, and much, much more. If you're joining us for the first time on Being Mindful, let me tell you that this is where we discuss topics around how we can respond when we or others are confronted by certain types of experiences in lives, and we look at this from a Christian perspective. So as always during the show, we'd love to hear from you, so please do get in touch regarding today's topic. And the easiest way to do that is to contact us via the PHBC radio app. Just tap the link to contact the studio and send us a message directly from there. We'd love to hear from you, and equally you can contact us via social media. So if you are on Twitter, Instagram or Facebook, use the @PHBCLondon handle to get in contact with us. And again, we will get back to you regarding your message to us or your question to us. So that said, in our normal fashion, we are going to look at what's on our mind. So, what is on your mind, Noma?
Yes, because it's just two of us.
Yes, it's just the two of us.
We can make it if we try. Okay, that's not. okay, what's on my mind? I think what's on my mind is the fact that we're already in October.
Yes.
It feels like we just said Happy New Year
a
while, not too long ago. And, you know, we're already like 2 months away from 2023 ending. And, you know, I think what usually happens with that for me, even though I try to not, is that I get into my headspace about what have I achieved and, you know, how did this year, you know, and so that, you know, it can feel gloomy sometimes when you're not looking at, you know, the right things as it were. But yeah, that's what's on my mind. I can't believe the year is over, but God has been faithful. You know, when you look at the right things, then you can count your blessings and know, okay, he has exceeded whatever my expectations were. Yeah. So, so what about you?
What's on my mind is, yes, we're in October, last quarter of the year. And there is that temptation to speed up towards the end of the year, wanted to achieve certain goals and targets. And if we're not careful, we can be so focused on that we're not being present in the day.
Yeah.
And then everything gets rushed towards Christmas and then towards the new year. And you just think, oh my goodness, I'm exhausted. Or what was that about? I kind of remember what the past 3 months were. It's just a blur.
Yeah.
Because the shops are already, well, since August, they've already been putting out things to do with Christmas. Yes. They've already had their Christmas aisles out, tempting us to buy our presents early.
Yeah.
And the weather has changed. I mean, today, thunderstorms and rain.
Yeah,
it's getting interesting. So autumn is here.
Yeah.
And so that's what's been on my mind. And then, of course, the sad news of Eliane Adam, who was fatally stabbed last week. Croydon town, which is my town, actually.
Oh, wow.
Born, bred in Croydon.
Yeah.
Just down the road. So, really, really sad about that. And not only that, there's been other reports of stabbings around in the UK. But it's just so frightening for youth, because I think back to how I was when I was 15 and the things that I was up to and thinking about, you know, that type of thing was not even in our radar at all. Mm-hmm. And it's as if now in our society, youth are being caused to grow up in certain ways, to be adults at such a young age in terms of protecting themselves.
Yeah.
And it's more out of survival rather than enjoying your teens, you know. I remember 15, I was like, yeah, I can't wait until, I think, was it 15? You get your national insurance card, that's it.
Oh.
And then that entitles you to go and work. You can get a job, you can get a part-time job, and you can make your own money. You don't have to wait for pocket money from mum and dad, you know. And that's the type of things that, you know, me and my friends were talking about, and we'd hang out in Croydon and stuff and look at shops and things like that. But you're kind of looking towards that. You're looking towards, I'm 15, you know, my final year at school because I'm going to leave at 16.
Yeah.
And that type of thing. Not, you know, I've got to protect myself in case I get stabbed or... It's frightening. So my heart really goes out to the youth. Really, really does. Mm. That's what's been on my mind.
Yeah, and just going on that, I really did appreciate your prayers yesterday at church.
Thank you.
It was very, very timely, very assuring in that regardless of, like when you said, like regardless of what we're hearing, it's not for us to allow fear, because that's another weapon of the enemy, you know, at this time, is to create fear. So it was a good reminder, you know, that it's not for us to fear. We have the weapon of prayer, and that's what we should be using over our youths, over our children, and et cetera.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Every day.
Yeah.
What did I say? A day of prayer. No, a day without prayer. Is something, I can't remember. I'm sure Pastor Deji would know, but he's not here. He's away somewhere playing around. Well, not in that way, but
okay.
He's away.
What are we discussing today? Let's give a little intro and we'll do some music. And you will be with Pastor Deji this time next week. I will not be here conveniently. Okay, so let's give a brief intro into our conversation, then we play some music.
So today we are talking about locating and living in your purpose. What is your purpose? And, you know, is there such a thing as purpose as Christians? So we're going to be exploring that this evening.
Okay, so exciting. So we're going to listen to some music now. And then when we return, we would get into our conversation. Enjoy.
Follow me. God up for everybody, anybody, yummy daddy. Him give we chance after chance, what we say we sorry. We should have in the madhouse or the cemetery. We should have lock up in the penitentiary. But instead him give we hope a new territory. Take the fool, turn him to wise, send him go seminary. Sometimes we turn we back on him cause in hereditary. But we go praise him right now, tell him we very sorry. God up for everybody, I know for you one. Him come be shedding blood to save every human. Whether you are African or Cuban, him take away the old make you a new man. You could have been the first man like Reuben, or could have smart like Isaac Newton. Come for give you better rest than a few ton. Him come for the Gentile and not the Jews one. In a God, how the best that you will be. God a fee everybody including me. Let me ask you this, how long you been free? More you look me in the eyes and tell me you sin free. We enter the kingdom God grooming me. We born sinful, there is no good in me. Malachi 3 tell me about proving thee. Thank the Lord daily for choosing me. God a fee everybody, anybody, hear me daddy. Him give a chance after chance, what we say we sorry. We should have in the madhouse or the cemetery. We should have lock up in the penitentiary. But instead him give we hope a new territory. Take the fool, turn him to wise, send him go seminary. Sometimes we turn we back on him cause he's hereditary. But we go praise him right now, tell him we very sorry. God a fee everybody, him and not for you alone. A fee the Greek and Gentile and not for the Jew alone. If you're in a trouble, make sure God a who you phone. One church just a 10,000 run from two alone. God a fee everyone who believe and let him in. This very thing is not a movie, a set a scene. Make sure you're so properly mixing. God of fear, I'll read Romans 1:16. God of fear, everybody, anybody, hear me daddy. Him give a chance after chance, what we say we sorry. We should have in the madhouse or the cemetery. We should have lock up in the penitentiary. But instead him give a hope a new territory. Take the fool, turn him to wise, send him go seminary. Sometimes we turn we back on him cause he's hereditary. But we go praise him right now, tell him we're very sorry. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. Loud. God a for everybody, anybody, hear me daddy. Him give a chance after chance, oh we say we sorry. We shoulda in a the madhouse or the cemetery. We shoulda lock up in a the penitentiary. But instead him give we hope a new territory. Take the fool turn him to wise and him go seminary. Sometimes we turn we back on him cause he's hereditary. But we're gonna praise him right now, tell him we're very sorry.
Hello and welcome back everyone. I hope you like that.
Yeah.
What was that?
Okay,
music,
that was DJ. Don't, it's not my fault. That is Pastor DJ. I was doing that for him, so he knows we're thinking about him. So that is DJ Nicholas. God Afi Everybody. Yeah, it was part of the songs that were played last week, and I think this is one of my favorites from Pastor Deji's playlist.
Oh, from Pastor Deji's playlist. I'm still waiting for my playlist to be played.
Okay, so let's get into the conversation.
Anyway, so welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Being Mindful, in case you just tuned in to us. And we are exploring issues around our quality of life as Christians. So, again, as a reminder for those of you who want to get in touch with us, you can contact us via the PHBC Radio app. Use the handle there that says contact us, and you can leave us your message, your question, and we'll get back to you. Or if you're on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you can use the handle at PHBC London to get in touch. So we are talking about locating and living in your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So Noma, what is purpose? What do you think purpose is?
Yeah, okay. So for me, my earliest memory of that phrase or that word is hearing someone saying to me that your purpose is the thing that you are passionate about and the thing that you can do for free, even if you're not paid for it. You have so much joy in whether it's, you know, helping children or teaching or, you know, singing. You just have so much joy in that. So those are the two. That's my earliest memory about purpose in terms of what that means. But I think obviously as a Christian and growing up in faith, it is something, it's not about you, it's actually about God, God's plan for your life and why you were actually created. So yeah, that's my answer.
And do you think you're in your purpose?
Oh my gosh. I think it's something that even I still pray about, to be honest, because especially, you know, growing up in a very, conservative family, and you have parents who already have opinions about who you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do. I remember when I was lots younger, my dad had planned all of us what we were going to do career-wise. Like, he was like, you're the doctor, you're the... So I was supposed to be the lawyer. unfortunately, obviously, I didn't do that. But, you know, that was... You know, so it's one of those things where you're either caught up in... Sometimes you can be running on someone else's dream for your life. And sometimes you don't. So for me, it's something where even till date, because I do get caught up sometimes in whether it's what my parents wanted for me or what they want for me, and also looking at other people's lives and thinking, okay, I should also be doing that as well, because we're of the same age, we're of the same gender, and you know, all those kind of things. So it's something I still pray about, and yeah, and I want to believe that I am, but I know that I have to continue to, you know, lift that in prayer and be intentional about asking God what that is. Yeah.
So what is it like then coming from a family or being in a family where, like you said, your dad had planned out the careers for you already? Is that because he had prayed about it, or was it that he himself maybe saw other families, you know, and saw that their sons and daughters were lawyers, doctors, accountants, et cetera, that he said, yes, that's what I want for my children as well.
Yeah.
And are you a lawyer?
I'm not a lawyer.
So does that mean you're not in your purpose in your dad's eyes?
I think it took a while. I think, to be honest, I don't know how very African settings, there's it's a very almost like a norm that your parents dictate, sometimes it gets to the point where they actually dictate who you marry. You know, in most African settings, culturally, that makes sense. So I think for him, he was doing what was culturally normal, you know. I don't know if he prayed about it, you know, I don't know. But I think for him, it was, he just felt, look, these are professions that people are successful in, you know, if you're a doctor, you're successful, and if you're, you know, professional things. So I think that was what he was going for, his desire of this is my best, this is what the best looks like for my children. And for me, the thing about, I did try to get into law, I did, but every time we tried, it never worked. I tried to get into, when I was in Nigeria, when I was, you know, about to start uni, before I came here and continued, I tried to start law. And every time there's an exam, I'll see the exam and you're like, oh, you didn't make the cutoff. And then we'll apply again to do the exam and I will make the cutoff. And then the moment that I sat for the exam for media and communications, I made the cutoff, you know. And so it was almost like, do you know what? Don't torture this child anymore. Let her just go. Let her just move on into this thing. So I think for me, that was almost like the handwriting thing on the wall for my dad. Like, okay, we're really trying to push you in this area and it's not working. This one just opened up. Go for it, you know. So I believe that he has made his peace with it.
That's good.
Yeah, so yeah. So I think that's my testimony.
Yeah, because there are some parents I know in some cultures, particularly in Asian cultures, where it's a similar thing, where they have ideals for their children. And I've come across many who, you know, their parents want them to be accountants, lawyers, etc., you know, the professional status. But you could see within themselves that they were like, you know, this thing, I'm doing it, but it's a struggle. It's not my heart's passion. Yeah. And they want to do something more vocational, you know, something which their parents would frown upon and would even consider an embarrassment to the family, you know. And I remember one time I was part of this group and one of the girls, she was from an Indian family and she was opening up and she was saying, I can't remember what she worked as, but it was one of those professions, you know, high status professions. And she was saying, my heart just not in it, you know, and she wanted to do something vocational. But she was scared of telling, I mean, this is a grown adult, you know. I think she was in her 20s, but she was scared of telling her parents because she knew they would be disappointed. And then thankfully there was another lady there from the same culture who she, I can't remember what her profession is. She's got a day job, but she does, poetry.
Oh, okay.
So I think she's written a book. She does several, poetry things, you know, events and stuff. And she was saying how she approached her mum and told her about what she wanted to do. And so she was giving this lady advice. But it was just that sort of, you know, that pressure, pressure that this lady was feeling that, oh, you know, it's not my heart, it's not in it, but I'm going to do it anyway because I want to please my parents. And there are some people still, they will still continue to work a job or be in a profession long before their parents have departed from this earth because they feel there's a level of loyalty to fulfilling that, you know. And they're saying, well, this is what my parents said I should do. This is what I'm doing. I'm good at it. Even if their heart is not,
it's not in it,
they'll still do it.
Yeah, that's true.
So those of you listening, can you relate? You know, maybe you're from a culture where, you know, your parents or maybe not even your parents, you had guardians who brought you up and they said you're going to be a certain, you know, profession or a certain type of, I don't know, whatever title, because, you know, your grandparents were, you know, say architects.
Yeah.
Your great grandparents were doctors.
So you have and to carry on.
Before that, yeah, everybody was a lawyer, you know, and so you cannot break that, you know, that stream. So, yeah, let us know. Contact us at PHBC London on social media or on the PHBC Radio app. Now, for me, purpose, it's like you say, one of those things that when you grow up and it's not something that you're taught in school. I wasn't taught in school about purpose. It was a case of when we got to certain years in our secondary school, it was, okay, what subjects are you interested in? So you did the subjects that you were interested in, and then it's, okay, after that, what do you want to do? And hopefully the subjects that you were interested in the last 2 years in your secondary school were enough to get you onto college, onto university.
Yeah.
But equally, you've got the feedback from your parents as well as to their ideal for you as well. Thankfully, my parents quite liberal, you know, and they were like, well, what is it that you like to do, you know? And they could see where our strengths were, particularly in our exams. Even though, you know, they did have their ideals.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there was that freedom of, well, as long as it's something that you enjoy and it's something that you know you can do. So go thankfully, for it. Yeah, there was that. But I never saw it as, that's my purpose. It was more exploratory for me for a good few years. And it can be for some people, because some people can say, okay, I'm doing this coming out of college into university, I'm studying this, but then they go on to do work that is totally unrelated to what they studied. And then some people change as well throughout the decades of their life, you know. And as you said earlier, purpose is not one of those things that is, well, this is me, I think, that purpose is not one of those things that is just stamped on you, you're like, that's it for life, you know. It can be one of those things that change. And we see that reflected in the Bible, you know, in certain characters. Even though there might be a specific sort of an assignment, but what's behind, what's the overall purpose of that individual, you know. So I think of David.
Oh, yes.
You know.
That's a good example.
He started off as a shepherd's boy, you know, and he could have just been, okay, you know, all my forefathers were shepherds and, you know, we've always lived in the land and, you know, we've lived as nomads here, there and everywhere. Whereas his brothers were out fighting and doing whatever it was that they were doing. And he could have been like, okay, that's it for life. I'm a shepherd's boy, you know. But no, God had bigger plans for him.
Yeah.
You know, and he became king. You know, he's part of the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, and also when I think of, I love the story of Joseph. Again, you know, how he started off and the dreams that he had. And nobody knew that, that you know, those dreams would come to pass. And his brothers teased him and called him a dreamer. And, you know, nobody, you know, they just thought, oh, this dreamer, what's he talking about? Nonsense.
Yeah.
And, you know, they wanted to get rid of him. But, you know, he, you know, they kidnapped him, put him in a hold, and someone else kidnapped him and took him away. And, you know, it could have been like, well, Joseph, what's your purpose? You know? And then he ends up in prison. He's like, what?
Yeah. How did I get here? Yeah.
Exactly. And there are, you know, I think about the people who are in prison and, you know, maybe society have washed their hands of them and said, these people, they're no good. You know, nothing will ever amount, you know, from them.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was coaching health professionals and there was a guy who he had spent some time at Her Majesty's Pleasure, as we call it, HMP. And he, you know, when he was in prison, he was like, you know, how did I get here type of thing. And not, he's not a Christian. And, but he realized when he was in prison, he was like, you know what? When I get out, I don't want to be going down this streak again. I need to make something of my life. He didn't want to go out. He didn't want to come back out and work for his dad. His dad had a business.
Okay.
He didn't want to do that. So what he started to do in the prison was they give them little jobs to do.
Okay.
But he started to take an interest in fitness. So he started just doing fitness for himself, and then he noticed changes in his body. He was feeling better mentally and physically. And the other prisoners were saying, oh, you know, you're looking good. How come you know, you're buffed up and things like that here, you know. So he was showing them, you know, a few moves. And they were complimenting him. They were saying, you're a good teacher, you know. And he thought, okay. And so he would talk it through with his, you know, they have like officers that they account to. And then he started, when he got out of prison, he started looking into qualifications to be a personal fitness trainer. And he's now running his own successful personal training company. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Really, really great guy. Really great inspiration.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
So, you know, you might be, those of you listening, maybe you're at that point, you just think, you know what I'm doing is nothing. Maybe you're cleaning. Maybe you're, I don't know, a porter in a hospital. Maybe, you know, these sort of low, what we consider to be low grade jobs, but they are so essential in life. And you just think, no, God, you must have something better, bigger for me, you know. You know, don't give up hope. Keep seeking God, because you just don't know what God has for you.
Yeah, that's so true. And I love the story you just shared about the guy in the prison, because the thing I think, and maybe I don't know if, you know, maybe this is not correct, but for me, I think that, like you said, even the sometimes we're waiting for the big thing, you know, that we forget that everything in our lives is leading up to its purpose, leading up to purpose. It's just one, you know, dot of purpose connecting to another dot. And so it also takes us back to that scripture that says, you know, don't despise the days of, you know, humble beginnings. Don't look down on yourself or even someone else, whatever it is they're doing, and you think, oh, this doesn't matter, because they're on their own journey to discover everything that God has already written about them before the foundation of the world was laid. Do you think we should play some music?
Yes, let's go for it.
Okay, so this one is Keith Staton, and it's Jesus, We Enthrone You.
Hallelujah.
Of us, we raise you up, we raise you up.
adventure. Take your place, come Lord Jesus, yeah. Take your place, hey, yes, take your place, hey, oh Lord, build your throne.
Hello. Hello, we're back. Apparently Pastor sent us a message. You see, so he's still listening. He said, oh yeah. He said 7 days, because I said, what's the statement?
Mm.
And it's 7 days without prayer makes 1 week.
Mm.
So, yes, let prayer be your foundation.
Yeah.
Which I know for you all it is.
Yes.
Okay, so we are going to speak about a bit about purpose from a Christian perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got here a book which I read when I was seeking my purpose. But before I get stuck into this, just a reminder, do contact us via the PHBC app. Contact us, let us know. Are you in your purpose? Do you even know what your purpose is?
Mm.
And if you don't, send us a question, ask us. Or if you do know your purpose, how did you come across your purpose? How do you know you are in your purpose?
Mm.
Did God speak to you directly? Did you receive a prophecy?
Mm.
You know, some people do. They receive a prophecy and say, this is what God has for you.
Yeah, that's so amazing when that happens.
Yeah, that's what I was seeking. Yeah. I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Yeah,
you
know? Write it in the sky.
Yeah. So, do get in contact and let us know. So I have here a book by the famous Rick Warren.
Mm.
If you don't know Rick Warren, you can Google him, look him up. He's a well-known Christian pastor and author as well. And he's written a book called The Purpose-Driven Life.
Mm.
What on Earth Am I Here For? And it's a bestseller.
Mm.
And I've had this book, I don't know how long, but I've had it for years. And in the book, he talks about it's basically a book for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks you through how to uncover your purpose.
Oh, okay.
And the bit that really, really stood out for me, and when I read it again, because I use it as a reference book from time to time, is about what we're shaped for. And the first part, he's got that in two parts, is that we're shaped, number one, we're shaped for serving God. So he sees our purpose. The first part of our purpose is we belong to God. Sorry, there is a fly in the studio.
Once again on the mic.
That is just hovering around me and it's so irritating. Anyway, it's gone now. He talks about being shaped for God's purpose, for serving him.
Mm.
And as far as he can see, that is our first assignment.
Yeah.
You know, we're not being in our purpose for ourselves.
Yeah.
Where our first and foremost, God has to be glorified through our purpose.
Yeah.
So, you know, all these, you know, sometimes when I speak to children, who are non-Christians, and you ask them, what is it, you know, you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
They talk about they want to be a YouTube star, whatever they call it.
Influencers.
Yeah. Social media influencer. They want to be, I don't know, all these, you know, famous things, you know.
Mm.
And I'm like, really?
Mm.
But I don't blame them saying that, because that is what they're being influenced by at the moment.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, we are made by the Creator God.
Mm.
So it's for us to seek him first and ask him, okay, God, you made me. If we read Psalm 139, David talks about that.
Mm.
You made me, God. what is it that you have for me to do? Mm. How do you want to use me? What's your purpose for me?
Yeah.
And in one of the chapters, Rick Warren talks about being shaped for God's purpose. Mm. And the first part he talks about is unwrapping or discovering your spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. And if we go into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we see outlaid there about the spiritual gifts. And there are 9 of those spiritual gifts. So what are your spiritual gifts? Now, if we don't, as a Christian, understand what our spiritual gifts are, then we're kind of lost, you know, because it's those spiritual gifts that God is going to use as part of our purpose. Mm. Rick Warren says, God has empowered us with abilities for serving him that are given only to believers. So it doesn't mean that your purpose as a Christian is in ministry per se, like in the church ministry type of thing, you know, like you're going to be a pastor or... Sorry. I'm still getting over my cough.
Yeah.
That you're going to be in the pulpit type of thing, you know. Mm. But you still need to understand what your spiritual gifts are.
Mm.
So... Noma, do you know what your spiritual gift is?
I was going to ask you when you say spiritual gifts, what do you mean? I was actually waiting for you to is she going to explain that? So please, for people like Noma that don't know, kindly share.
Okay, for those of you who are not familiar with your spiritual gifts, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It outlines there... all the spiritual gifts. So we've got the gifts. Let me see if I can reel them off, because he hasn't put them in the book. Mm. So the gift of knowledge.
Okay.
Word of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Okay. You've got the gift of wisdom, because there's nine spiritual gifts. You've got the gift of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the gift of healing.
Mm.
You've got the gift of speaking in tongues.
Mm.
You've got the gift of the interpretation of tongues.
Okay.
You've got the gift of the discernment of spirits.
Mm.
Two more. I think you've got the gift of teaching, I believe.
Mm.
And I think the other one is the gift of ministering, which I think might be hospitality.
Okay.
I think I got all 9. I think I'll have to search.
I mean, you're better than me. I was like, what is she on about? So, yeah, you're better. Okay, go on.
Mm-hmm. So we need to understand what our gifts are. So the only way to understand it is to ask the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in 1 Corinthians that the Holy Spirit gives us all the gifts, but the Holy Spirit chooses which gifts he will utilize in us, bring forth in us as and when he pleases.
Okay.
So, you know, that spiritual gift alone can be the key to what our purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it isn't.
Mm.
Sometimes it just plays a part in our purpose.
Mm.
And it can be used as part of our assignment for a specific time.
Mm.
So, sometimes people will realize that as a Christian, they might be strong in one area, say like the gift of teaching in one particular period of time, or one length of time, maybe for a few years or in a particular way. And then all of a sudden they may find that, oh, I don't really feel, you know, that teaching ability coming through me anymore. I feel a different type of gift coming through me.
Mm.
It could be a gift of faith, for example, or, you know, where you're empowering people and encouraging people. Mm. And it also stipulates in Romans, I think it's in Romans chapter 12, the latter part, also outlines there about the spiritual gifts as well.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, get to know what your spiritual gifts are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then... Rick Warren goes on to about shaping, listening to our heart.
Mm.
Now, our heart, he says here, our heart is to describe the bundle of desires, hopes, interests, ambitions, dreams, and affections that we have. So what dreams, ambitions, interests, dreams, affections, desires, hopes, interests do we have? You know, again, we've got to be careful that these things are not idols, you know, because we could say, for example, you can have someone who's really interested in sport. And every weekend they are out there maybe playing golf, playing football. I know talented young boys and girls now who, you know, every Sunday it's football, you know. And in my previous church, there was a young girl that I knew who played football, and she just loved it. But her parents were really careful, and they said to her, listen, you know, the first priority is coming to church on a Sunday, because the practice was always on a Sunday, you know, during church time. So they were like, well, look, you know, sometimes it was a case of, okay, you can go to practice, but then you have to go to the later service to go to church, because they wanted to make sure that she still was active in church.
Yeah.
So there are some interests, hobbies and desires that we have that can almost become idols if we're not careful. You know, it can even be, you know, our jobs can become idols as well. You know, even if it is our purpose, and it's like you're in that job 24/7, you're thinking about it, you're working hard, that's it. You know, people call you up, say, oh, come out, you know, we haven't seen you for a while. No, I'm working, I'm working. And that can become our idol instead of our purpose. And so we've got to be really careful of what is our heart's desires. But oftentimes we can uncover our purpose through our heart's desires. Sometimes God will put that desire in us, in our hearts, in our spirits, and say, this is your purpose. And sometimes we may not realize it until later on in life, where someone might say, oh, you know what, you're very good at art, or like in your case, you're very good at singing. And we all know that Noma plays it down like, you know.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and so we could say that your singing is your purpose. Do you think singing is your purpose? Suppose if someone came with a record deal and they heard you and they were like, who is this lady? You know, we need to get her on Britain's Got Talent type of thing, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, not in that sense. Now, I do think I do think that singing has always been a big part of my life. Like, even as a little girl, I was the girl who would hold her hairbrush and be in the mirror and be waving to imaginary audiences and be curtsying and, you know, all those kind of things that children do. But yeah, I think for me, it's really a worship for me. You know, it's one of the ways where I express, whether it's my love, whether it for God or my pain, or my, it's like, I don't know how to explain it. But yeah, I do think that that's a really big part of my life. But the thing about it, when you say, oh, Nomad, is that at the same time, I'm the person that also likes to hide. So it's finding a way to overcome that need to hide, and then step into what may be your purpose, actually. Because I do find that there's usually that struggle sometimes when it's like, okay, this is what God is calling you to do, but really, I don't really want anybody to see me. I don't really want anybody to, you know, to know me, or whatever that thing is, and you want to hide. So it's a back and forth. But yeah, I do think that singing is, you know, a big part of my life.
So you heard it here first on Being Mindful Radio Show that singing is part of Noma's purpose. So going back to shape, so basically Rick Warren has used the word shape as an acronym. So the S was spiritual gifts, the H is heart, and then A is abilities. So I hope you're writing this down, those of you who are listening. to, and this flight is bugging me. Oh my goodness. Anyway, yeah, its purpose is to bug me, harass me. So the A is abilities. Mm. What is your ability? Let me just flick over to abilities. Yeah, applying your abilities. So Rick Warren says, your abilities are the natural talents you were born with. Some people have a natural ability with words. They come out with words. You know, you get these people who are poets and they can, you know, he says here people can come out talking out of the womb.
Yeah, there are those people.
Actually, Oprah Winfrey said that, you know, she used to get in trouble at school because she talked a lot. And look at where she is now.
Yeah.
He says here other people have natural athletic abilities, excelling in physical coordination. Still others are good at mathematics or music or mechanics, etc., etc. So what are your abilities? What are your natural abilities?
What are your natural abilities, Lillian? What do you think?
My natural abilities. I know my gift is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that's one of my spiritual gifts. And one of my natural abilities. One of my natural abilities. Well, definitely communicating, speaking is one of my natural abilities. Because I did get in trouble at school for talking. Yeah, I was one of the children who sat at the back of the class and yeah. So yes, that's one of my natural abilities. I guess not quite athletics, but movement, definitely physical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like to move the body, so yeah, dance, things like that. Yeah, I like to move the body.
Yeah.
So Rick Warren goes on to say that all of our natural abilities come from God. So, you know, there are people I know in some churches where their natural ability is to dance, where they will utilize that gift during praise and worship to dance. And that's dancing unto God, you know. And they do it in such a way that brings glory to God. And some people, I don't know whether you've seen this, Noma. I remember one time I watched, I can't remember what the church was, but they would have a lady who, the preacher would be preaching and the lady would be doing some art. And then afterwards, when the preaching stopped, and she would then turn the picture.
Yeah, I've seen one of those, yeah.
It would relate to what the person, it was almost like a prophecy in the picture.
Oh my gosh, yes, I've seen one of those, yeah.
You just get goosebumps. Yes. Even I'm getting goosebumps now just thinking about it.
Yeah.
It was so, I mean, something like that ability, that is a gift as well. It's just phenomenal.
So
finding out what our abilities are from God is really, really vital. A scripture here that says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability or the power to produce wealth. Or to get wealth. That's from Deuteronomy 8:18.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, your ability, your purpose is not designed for you to create money or to bring in wealth. Sometimes it's you know, it's just meant to serve. Just meant to serve people. And, you know, sometimes people ask and they say, is it just one thing that is my purpose? It's just that one thing? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we can have multiple purposes.
Yeah.
And, but they're balanced in such a way that they complement each other.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, going back to you, Noma, singing and journalism, you know, like now you're on the radio, you can also be singing as well to people. You know, why play music? You know, you can sing live, you know?
Anyway, that's not a cue to start singing.
Now Noma's going to sing for us.
But yeah, I do like what you're saying a lot. And one of the things that you've said that has really stuck with me is the fact that your purpose is about serving God. You know, it's not about you. And it's not the thing, it's not something you should worship. Because it's, you know, you make your purpose your worship. You make, like, the example about football and things like that. Or even singing, you make that your worship as well. And But the interesting thing I also think about purpose is that it can make you known. Mm-hmm. And that's why you need to be very grounded in God. Mm-hmm. Because it can make you known to the point of fame. It can make you known to the point of wealth. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that foundation in Christ, where you know that, you know, like the Bible says, you know, he's the potter, we are the clay. Mm-hmm. He has shared this gift with us. So it's not even about us. It helps us not to be destroyed by the glory of the blessing of that purpose. You know, oh, everyone is calling me up, you know, to mm-hmm. do this and that, you know, and then that, all of a sudden you have pride and mm-hmm. you have arrogance. And mm-hmm. and you, I have heard stories of that, you know, about people like that, you mm-hmm. know, they start off very humble and very, and once they get into, they get a taste of the glory of that announcement of their gifts, mm-hmm. it's like it gets into their head, mm-hmm. you know. So it's important, and it's something that, you know, all of us should do as Christians when we ask God to show us what our purpose is, to pray for humility mm-hmm. as well, to mm-hmm. remain humble and, you know, grounded in him, because it's all about him, like you said. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, God can quickly just move us out of,
yeah.
you know, that position, any mm. position he's opened up for us pertaining to that purpose. If he sees that it takes his place,
mm.
Then, you know, he's just going to quickly,
mm.
yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, you need to go back to training.
Exactly. And, yeah. and interesting, Joyce Meyer said, you know, it took her years to get to where she is now.
Mm.
And she said it can take 2 seconds for God to just say,
yes,
it's over. That's
yes.
it.
Yes.
You know, so yes. she's very mindful of
mm.
that,
mm.
of not, you know, stealing God's glory
yes.
and glorifying where she's at, mm. you know.
Mm.
And she is humble in the way that she runs her ministry and she talks about how she got to where she got to.
Yeah.
Because again, someone like Joyce Meyer, who was saying in her earlier years to find her purpose, she mm. was like, she never thought she would be doing what she's doing now.
Yeah.
She said she tried. What makes me laugh was when she said that she went into the children's church to be there for a bit. And she said she knew, she knew, and the other people knew she was not meant to be. She was not meant to be a children's church teacher.
Yeah, that's a special grace and gift.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, as she said, she tried so many things
mm.
until it was, you know, God just said, I need you just to lead. Because she just started off leading a Bible class in her
yeah,
home.
Yeah, yeah.
For years, and a low number,
mm.
you know.
Mm.
It was such a low number. And she was like, God, what do you want to do with me? God, why am I here? God, you know.
Mm.
And there was so much that God was pruning out of her life
Amen.
During those Amen. Small years. Yeah. You know, and the word is true in terms of, you know, your latter years, you know, don't despise your yeah. smaller, you know.
Beginnings. Yeah, yeah.
And she said, if it wasn't for that,
mm.
you know, where would she be now?
Mm.
So, it's just interesting how we come about. Anyway, let me crack on with the last
yes,
two of shape.
Mm.
So the P is for personality. So Rick Warren talks about, you know, our personality mm. mattering when it comes to our purpose. Because if we don't have the right personality,
mm.
but the purpose is there, then mm. it's like there's a mismatch,
mm.
you know. And Rick Warren says, your personality will affect how and where you use your spiritual gifts and abilities.
Mm.
And I've come across so many, you know, let's take pastors, for instance. I'm sure you know of many pastors who mm. have fallen from grace, as they
yeah.
call it, you know,
mm.
Because their personalities have just been, you know, I can name some, but I won't, who mm. are, you know, a certain type of personality in the pulpit.
Mm.
And as soon as they come off the pulpit, it's like, you know, mm. cloak and dagger type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, Jacqueline yeah. Hyde. You know, you're like, what? Did you not just do that up there
yeah.
and now you're like...
Mm-hmm. Completely different, yeah.
yeah.
Mm.
And, yeah, I've seen too many of them.
Mm.
And so our personality has to be the same. You know, no matter what we are doing, no matter where God is taking us,
mm.
you know, even in our homes, even if God takes us on stage or puts us on television,
mm.
we need our personalities to be the same, to be
yeah.
constant. Like yeah. you say, the humility
mm.
has to be there
mm.
because otherwise, people will see through it as mm-hmm, well. Mm-hmm. People will see through it, and something can happen that you just slip up, you know. And, you know, I think of people like Whitney Houston, for example.
Yeah.
Hugely talented woman.
Very.
Sadly, you know, her end was just disastrous because she got caught up with the wrong people.
Mm.
And, you know, it was, yeah, it was, it, oh, gosh, I just... It's a sad, sad case.
Yeah, yeah.
But our personalities really, really matter. So who are you in front of people and who are you when nobody is looking?
Mm.
That is the most important thing.
That's what matters,
And then the E in shape, the last bit, is employing your experiences.
Mm.
So what are your experiences? So Rick Warren talks about our experiences as our family experiences. What did we learn growing up?
Mm.
Educational experiences, what were our favorite subjects? Vocational experiences, what are our jobs? Where were we most effective and what jobs did we most enjoy? Our spiritual experiences as well, you know, our meaningful times with God, what can we draw from that as experiences? Mm. Our ministry experiences, how have we served God in the past? And then our painful experiences, what problems, hurts, thorns and trials have we learned from? Mm. And he really hones in on the painful experiences as being the ones that God can use to prepare us for ministry and prepare us for our purposes.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't despise all our experiences because they will come into play as part of our purpose.
Yeah.
And as we saw in the case of Joseph and David, you know, all their experiences, even in the prison, you know, that Joseph's experience in the prison helped him when he was prime minister in terms of serving humanity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of Daniel as well, you know, and the situations that he went through as well.
Mm.
And just the humility that he had in terms of serving Nebuchadnezzar and those kings who were, you know, they were not, you know, they were not godly at all, you know.
Mm.
But just his experience of how to conduct himself and talk and communicate with people really helped in fulfilling his purpose that God assigned for him. So that's it about purpose. Yeah. Any final words on that, Noma?
I think for me, the biggest takeaway for me, a couple of things. Number one, reminding myself that my purpose is all about God. Number two, reminding myself that I am created for something. And it to stay connected to God, obviously, to find out what that is. And I think this one is one that I know a few people who have struggled with in terms of where they feel like God is taking so long to get them to where they're supposed to be.
Mm.
And just that story of Joyce Meyer that talks about the pruning, because God doesn't want to get you to the place where the purpose will consume you and destroy you because your foundation just wasn't solid.
Mm.
So however long you think it's taking to get to that place, I think the biggest takeaway tonight is to know that God is working on your heart because he doesn't want you to get to that point where you are consumed. Okay, I think we have a message and we're going to read that before we go. Okay, so it says, great show tonight. Thank you. Can other people help me to find my purpose? What do you think, Lillian? A quick one to that.
Yes, definitely. There are coaches, there are people who specifically can help with you finding your purpose and help you to, you know, just sit down and plan things out and ask you questions that you might not even think to even ask yourself.
Mm.
That's really, really helpful. And I had that, you know, I've got coaches, I work with coaches, you know, just to keep me in line with my purpose.
Mm.
And so you want someone who is trained in that and who knows how to pull out those answers out of you and really look at, like what Rick Warren says, your spiritual gifts, your heart's desires, your abilities, your experiences and your personality.
Mm.
And then, of course, you take that all to God and then say, okay, God, you know, this is it.
Yeah,
this is what I discovered. Where do you want me to be? And he will order your steps.
Amen so to that. Amen.
I hope that helps.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it.
Any other questions?
No. I don't think so. No, there's no other questions. Nah.
Wonderful. So Thank you all for listening to us, and thank you for those of you who contacted us. You've been listening to Being Mindful, PHBC Radio. My name's Lillian, and I've been joined with the lovely Noma here in the studio.
Thank you.
And we will join you next week with another enticing conversation and topic. Until then, thank you for listening, and remember, be mindful of yourselves and each other. God bless you.
God bless you.